Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Benji.
We're the co-founders of Vida Metalamp, and we're here for Untalented by Unknown by Canva.
If I was a 10-year-old girl called Olivia, my name is Ollie, but imagine I'm Olivia. I'm 10 years old. How or what do you do? And explain it to me as if I was 10.
Alrighty, shall I jump into
You go
that?
for it.
So let's see if there's similarities between our answers. So, hello, Olivia. Lovely to meet you. So we help organizations around the world, like museums to complete cities, explain themselves better to people, who they are, why they're fun to visit, and why people should really care about them.
Just museums or
Cultural organizations mainly, and that goes from an organizational level like museums, to parts of cities, to entire cities. Yeah, so that's a.
So if I was if I owned Wembley Stadium, I'm still Olivia, by the way, so I'm allowed to ask dumb questions. So if I owned Wembley Stadium, I would come to your business and say, "Come to my stadium. How can I get people to come to my stadium?" Would that be an example?
Yeah, I think first of all, you need to understand what reason do you want people to come, just for the sake that you've got a full stadium, but what can you give to all the people around to make them really care about the stadium and wanting to come? Because you've got really amazing football matches, but also concerts there, and somehow the stadium becomes less of a building and more of a community place where people connect in. And I think that's a really important part.
I've got a good analogy to add here because I think the first part of my answer would have been the same. But I wanted to add the analogy for Olivia, and I've got a 4-year-old daughter, so I'm kind of going up the ladder to talk to a 10-year-old. So imagine some of the places that we work with. Imagine there were little towns made out of Lego, right? They're made by lots of different people. And you got your Wembley Stadium, and it starts off like in a really good shape. It starts off really consistent, and over time, more people come along and they add their bits to it. And sometimes they might bring a different set, and you suddenly got different pieces in there, and suddenly you get this inconsistency. You've got a Harry Potter building next to a Star Wars kind of spaceship or something. It doesn't kind of make sense. So we come along and we'll kind of take it all apart again, and we look at all of the pieces. We look at what is really working, what is really true to that place, and rebuild it again. And not only just rebuild it, but actually start to create a set of rules so that whoever else comes to make something can follow those rules
I
and
love
create
that.
something that is like a whole picture again, and is got the same components, and it's just creating that sense of place, as Benji was saying. So that sense of community, and it's this more of a consistent experience.
That would make sense to me. That does make sense to me. And you guys have gone on to launch your own business. I wanna focus on the part that went very quickly, and I guess enabled you, either of you, both of you, to get to that part. So our question is, like, what accelerated your careers? What was the one thing that made you guys go, "Oh my God, that's gonna speed us up or speed me up to get to where I want to get to"?
There's a tricky one because at some point you need to do your time, right?
I completely agree
You
with Al.
need to, I came out of university, Benji came out of university. You're in that insulated environment. You're at the top of your game. You come out, you're a fresh graduate. You go into industry, and I think this is the shame with some places where you work now, and especially when it's more hybrid, so you're not in that working environment. We were fortunate that we didn't have that, and we were working inside this design practice, which is very established. And we learned so much just from being in that room, listening, understanding. Oh, this is what it's really about. It's not about this. It's about that. And I'd say one of the key things that I've learned, and Benji, you add what you've learned. It's not necessarily what something looks like. It's not trying to achieve that end goal. It's about the process and the series of decisions that you need to make through collaboration and teamwork with yourselves, the design team, and your clients. It's guiding people through that set of decisions in order to get to that place. And some of those answers are so critical in creating something that's really relevant.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest learning. I think in our younger years, we were like, so, well, I was very much like wanted to be the master of your kind of destiny and do everything yourself.
Yeah.
And actually it's much more around that collaboration and bringing everyone on the journey.
I love that.
That would be my shortcut.
He didn't want to start a business with me originally because he's like, no, no, we can be like collaborative. Absolutely. Or something. So I had to kind of like rope him into that. Now he's never looked back, I hope. But really, just to double down with what Alex said, like, I think it's so important to do the time, but use the time useful so you, how do I say that best? So you're really learning on the job, right? Yeah. Because what we're doing isn't far from theory. And there's this beautiful saying that I heard, that there's no difference in theory between theory and practice, but in practice there is, mm-hmm. right? And that difference is only experienced by being there, doing that, and taking sometimes the long route. And so much of the work that we do is all so much front loading, is talking to people, interviewing, workshopping. It's just fully, deeply, and holistically, with every cultural nuance, understanding every person's part of the bigger picture, and how you bring that together into a singularity. And I think that comes through understanding, through time, through experience. And I think in a world that's always about acceleration, and Alex and I, we spoke about that recently, about like fast culture and slow culture. Mm. We are in the slow culture. We're not Brad Summer. We are just in the slow, perpetual side. And if we define culture, it's the values and the knowledge we seek to hand over to the next generation, like you, Olivia.
Thank you. I love that. There's a saying that's like, true beauty in a human is the people that plant seeds for trees that they'll never sit under to benefit from the shade. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of giving a fuck about the long-termism of culture rather than the transient nature of trends.
Yes.
So just to give you an understanding of the timelines that we're talking about, we're working on a project that's going to come to fruition 2050?
Sorry, 2050?
2050, yeah.
So the work that we're doing now is planting the seeds of a city that is being built, which is going to finally manifest itself.
It's going to be my retirement plan. So, you know what I mean? It's just we're really talking about intergenerational shifts here, and that's what's fascinating. It's not about sharp spikes that you see because you pushed out some campaign. Mm. It's about really strategically long-term cultivating a very specific part.
I love that. Okay, I want to get into my warm-up questions. So, okay, we're going to get into your partnership, right? And we've got two different answers here. So maybe we'll start with you, Benji, on this one, which is, the question is, how did your partnership begin? And what do you think makes it so successful?
Yep, easy. So it began with me reading about Alex. Oh. And someone in my course, so I was in the third year, Alex had graduated and he'd just gone got the DNAD pencil, and people just blew up. So that was in 2000, right? 25 years ago, Alex graduated. I was going to graduate in 2001. And we're looking at, you know, before all the blogs existed, Instagram, all the stuff. So we're like looking at magazines, and there's this feature on Al and about this comic thing. And Alex was predicting the Internet of Things, you know, which is quite incredible. And he built stuff around it. He can talk about it, but that's a whole different podcast. Yeah. But I read about it, and a friend of mine, oh yeah, it's really cool, stuff like that. And then fast forward, and I was looking for internships, and September 11 happened, the dot-com bomb exploded. Mm. So I went out graduating in 2001 looking, hey guys, and you know, really looking forward to working with everyone here. And everybody's like, shut up, we're trying not to get fired. And you know, it was really bleak times. But thank you to Mary Lewis, who then took me in for a month work placement, and the creative director Brian Clark then. And then I was sitting there and I was like, oh, that's that magazine guy. He's the guy on the magazine. I was like, oh, cool. And that's how I first met Alex. Wow. And we started going out and going to parties, and we just became kind of like just colleagues and post-colleague people. And then eventually what was really important is that we worked on a project which just kept going and going, and I think it was starting to suck the life out of us and the love for design. And I thought, okay, could I leave or start shelf somewhere in a shop, or I can just follow this love that I have for design still, and that there's this creative vacuum that needs filling. So I started doing work outside of work, little freelance jobs, and I say, hey Al, I need some help with the digital side, do you want to? And they're like, yeah, cool. And that led to something else, and that led to something else, and so we were working night times, weekends together. So during lunchtimes, we would run off through Soho, because we're doing all these clubs in Soho, like the Cuckoo Club and Jewel Bar. I don't know if they're all still there. Cuckoo Club is. And we did this one website that just completely exploded. And then the phone started to ring. We're like, shall we do it? And then I kind of like got roped him in, man.
So that's how you got him in. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's a really cool way of it starting. Like, you're almost like dipping your toe in. And it's and nice for anyone to hear that.
And
like,
we did it out of demand, you know? Yeah. We didn't say, oh, we're going to create a design company. You know, this is our ambition. We had to do it because there was no more working hours. We were working together over, you know, weekends of like, the lunch breaks. Yeah. It was real.
And the love for design.
But it's been, and is it been 25 years? No, not 25 years. It's been, how long have you guys had the agency we're together for?
18 years.
Yeah. 18 years.
We've been together 18 years. And now going back to what is it like having a relationship with her? And I see us as a very well-working marriage where everybody's got very distinct roles in the business. Because I know from other kind of like peers that have got kind of like similar levels of expertise. So there's a bit of doubling up. But Alex and I, we're very clearly different as people. And we're very different with the way we approach what we always intersect in the love for design, and I think challenging perpetually ourselves and giving ourselves to the freedom and the support to become ourselves, and us working around each other's skills. And so we've become this kind of like singular
super organism.
Yeah, I'd like to say that.
And I think, do you agree? As we've grown as well, we're able to be ourselves more as well.
Yeah.
I think when we were both in the thick of it, we were project managing, we were doing our work, and we're doing everything. Yeah. And now that we have the teams around us, we're able to actually operate fully as we really are and have that support around us.
I love that. Okay. What is the philosophy behind Wiedemann Lamp's approach to branding? Am I saying that right? Wiedemann Lamp's.
That's cool.
I'd say philosophy. Well, let's start. So we don't have an inherent house style. And I think that's important to be an agency that is still 18 years old and doing very well.
Yeah.
Because we're not bound by a style. And I think that's really important to us. The reason of that is because we are so strategically rooted. Our trilogy, we call it our holy trilogy, is technology, strategy, and design. Mm-hmm. And the interplay of those and how they work together is really important.
It the has order been, constantly changes what goes first.
Yeah, it has been said that we are very good listeners. And that's really important, that we don't come to a project or an organization with huge egos.
Yeah.
We are there to listen, to absorb. Going back to our first experience working in a design agency, we're there to learn. And we deliver with integrity and depth. The way that we work through strategy is always, it's not light touch.
It sounds like a labor of love.
We go deep. It is a labor of love. And the benefits of that is that it grows the seed for a really amazing design brief so that we can execute on it. And in every project that we do, I would hope to say, has got its own unique style based on the depth of what we do.
I love that. Is there a project in your mind that, I always say the word immortalizes you as a business, but like, I mean, this one in 2050 sounds like it could be that, but is there one project where you go, that's us, that's definitely our fingerprints are on that?
Yeah, I think there's one really important one that we did that galvanizes who we were as a business, because it gave us, first of all, the client to trust us to do the work, and it's very complex, very, yeah, it was very political and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and for us to kind of go into that and being able to grow our skill set through that project, and that it just kept on going more complex and bigger and deeper, etc. Mm. And so that was for the Louvre, and got the Louvre in Paris, in Lens, and Abu Dhabi. And in Abu Dhabi, they had built it. So it's the most incredible building by Jean Nouvel, and they built it. And it's this incredible intergovernmental agreement between France and the UAE, and the UAE's ambition to creating a museum-going nation. So it's the first part of creating that, because they are more story-based learners rather than object-based learners. We, us in the Northern Hemisphere, are object-based learners. And that's why we've got museums. So Paris helped with all their expertise to build that understanding. And you start with moments that the Arab language doesn't have the lingo, the vocabulary for that. And so there's stuff going around then. And so that thing opened up, and after 2 years, they're thinking, oh, it's not really kind of like locking into anything. So we were brought in to relook at their whole purpose, their whole cultural impact, what that was there for, help them articulate that through all the vision, mission, value, all the things, but the whole kind of like visual, verbal identity that went into the whole visitor experience. And underpinned by that was really interesting that we started to develop all the internal organizational processes that underpinned with all the different parts that we were doing. So for us, it was just this incredible learning ground. And when Alex and I look at the business, there's pre that work and post that work. That work, definitely, we just fundamentally look at and approach work differently with a much more in-depth knowledge around all these different things.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest difference? If there was one thing in a post-Louvre world, what's the one thing that you guys will always do differently based on that project?
That's for Alex.
Thanks for that. I would say it's the what we call like the stakeholder engagement.
Okay.
So it's like, how do you bring everyone across on that journey? And I think we've gone upstream. So we used to work with sort of heads of marketing, brand managers and things like that. We're now C-suite level. And so it's like, how do you translate, going back to the example at the beginning, how do we translate what we do to Olivia is one thing. How do we translate what we do to CEO? Who's or a CFO or a CTO who's not interested in brand. They just want to understand what is the bottom line. So how do we translate what we do and bring them on the journey and get them brought in?
Yeah.
And actually through the process of doing the Louvre in Abu Dhabi, we did a lot of workshopping and things like that. We honed our skills in getting the most out of clients. And since then, we've built our own sort of digital platforms that facilitate that wherever we're working in the world, that we can do that remotely, we can do that in person. And we've actually created a really rich set of tools that gets these really intangible thoughts onto paper or onto the screen. And you know, we did a workshop yesterday and it was phenomenal because you had loads of really non-creative,
design,
you know, they didn't have the lingo. But by the end of it, everyone's like, oh, I never thought about it like that. And they realize that all these different silos within that team, and they're all talking about it, and they're like, we're all coming at it from a different angle, but we're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was really refreshing for everyone in that room. It's like, I'd never thought about our organization like
that. No, this is so interesting. Okay, this is like a key point, not just to make to Olivia, but to anyone in the industry. I think like, excuse me, people always think it's the talent alone that is the reason as to why people get, you know, well known with what they do. And that's a huge part to play.
Mm.
But the biggest thing that I hear that no one really talks about is the articulation of the talent.
Yeah.
You can be as good as you like. You can be the, you know, the next Gaudi or whoever, Picasso. But unless you can articulate in a commercial sense why that's relevant to the client and what how that's going to help them propel their business or whatever their objectives are, it's almost irrelevant.
Yeah. I think one of the key learnings post doing the Louvre is that we would look at the output But now what we're looking at, how do we design a journey bringing in all the different voices and reflecting them along the way, what they've said, what we've heard, and how that will influence then the decisions that are made being forward. And
yes.
Through this journey, and we will say it's bringing multiple subjectivity to a single objectivity. And once you then reach at the design level, that the thing that you can actually see, the externalization of all of that, people can see their own input reflected back to them, and they own it, and therefore make it a success. And that's kind of like a lot about this organizational cultural design that we do.
Yeah, I love this. We went deep on that one. Okay, we've gone straight into the project there. So I want to move into cultural relevance. And I guess how you make sure that the brand work that you're doing has cultural relevance.
Yeah.
How do you ensure cultural relevance is your brand consultancy work, or is in your brand consultancy work?
Cool. So first of all, just to talk about cultural relevance, one of the first things that you'll see when you come to our website that we always talk about is cultural impact at scale.
Okay.
Right. So that's what the thing people or the people who engage with us are looking for, and that can go in both ways. It can be internal culture, so very complex, large organizations. How do you bring people together, especially with remote working and organizations are peppered throughout the world, etc. So how is there a unifying bond and force that pulls them together, a shared culture? And, and again, going to the word of culture, it's the cultivation of the values and beliefs and moving forward, but also what's the cultural impact on the world, and how can the work that we do just make a more meaningful world, right? So most of our clients don't have any monetary transactions, so they don't sell a thing. Of course, like with museums, etc., there's tickets and coffees and stuff, but they're there for something very, very different. And it's about this cultural impact. And so on how we go about it, there's three parts to it. The first one is really understanding what cultural impact they seek to have. And you ask 10 different people in organizations, you might get 15 different answers. And it's about really unifying that, because otherwise everybody runs into their own direction and you get a completely diffused and confused message, and in a very populated environment it's not an advantage exactly. Then the other one is about community, so that's a culture. The second one is community, that's about a more local level. How do you build communities and grow them regionally but also theme based, etc.? And then the third level is about building connection. That's this interdisciplinary thinking where you've got from physical to digital, you're creating these experiences that are totally interconnected. And when you're looking at these three levels, you've got like culture, which is the global impact, community, which is a local impact, and connections, which is more of a personal level.
And just going on that community thing, you know, the communities are internal as well. So it's like, how do you connect, you know, an organization with 17,000 employees, for example, with that central cultural purpose for it to have any meaning? It's very easy for this stuff to get stuck on a strategy deck somewhere and never be kind of
executed,
never been executed. So it's changing the behaviors of the team members so that they're able to action it. And then as you know, that connection point is like, well, how do you actually make that happen into a tangible experience, like, you know, a postcard or something? But that goes beyond deliverables, you know, the way that we look at technology and digital, as well as we actually build tools to help some of these organizations make decisions that will never see the light of day in terms of like, oh, this is what a, you know, brand consultancy has done, but it actually really helps that process, really helps that, you know, this action to happen.
That was my next question, which is how do you, you know, what kind of challenges do you face when you are integrating physical with a digital experience?
Yeah, so that's this is always underpinned and has always been underpinned within our consultancy through service design. Okay. So service design is a methodology where you can really understand the whole journey from digital to physical, and understanding what that looks like today and what problems you can solve and what bottlenecks and pain points and opportunities you can realize through thinking about that journey through multiple different perspectives, multiple different kind of users. And that has always underpinned our work to start with. And then,
so it's a user journey, essentially.
You're spotting... it's a user journey. So, you know, the work with the Louvre in Abu Dhabi was, you know, we part of that was doing the visitor experience. So it's like, okay, we've created this amazing brand promise. We've articulated the vision and the values really well. We've got, you know, this beautiful looking visual identity. Because it's important to note, we do all this process, but there's still great work that comes out of it visually, we hope. But then how do you then land that into the visitor experience? So we looked at all of the pain points. Now, one of the big pain points of the Louvre Abu Dhabi, it's a phenomenal architectural monument, but it's also modeled around a maze. It's like a labyrinth. So people were literally getting lost. And architecturally, they didn't want to put any signage anywhere because they were like, well, you should be able to find your way naturally. But that didn't work because people couldn't even find their way out. It's a dome. Everything looks the same, and it's a labyrinth. But applying that service design thinking, we're able to plot out what that might look like from planning your visit to the Louvre to arriving, to kind of guiding you through, thinking about how your mobile phone might support you in that journey, and choreograph these beautiful experiences.
Wow, love that.